Psalm 101. Let me read the whole thing. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him with an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Heavenly Father, speak to our heart today. May we present a challenge, Lord, even for those of us that have been saved for multitudes of years. We've still got to be alert and watchful on every side. The devil would do what he could to trip us up and get us discouraged and defeated, and if possible, to even fall back in to our old sinful ways. Lord, we love you. We want to do right. We want to always be right. And help us to overcome anything in our life that would be detrimental to our spiritual welfare and our spiritual growth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of you came from Christian homes where mom and dad were both Christians. And you went to Sunday school and church. That was just a way of life. And you've never really been out into the evil wickedness of the world. And if you haven't, thank God for that. Preachers said that over and over in his sermons, that we ought to be thankful for what we've been protected from if you had that protection in your life. Some of us during our younger years got involved in the world and the things of the world and things that were not pleasing to God, and we had to overcome those things. And thank God by the blood of the Lamb we have. I'm not what I ought to be, but I ain't what I used to be. Amen. And we won't be until we get to heaven. And when you expect perfection from yourself, you ought to. But when you do, don't get discouraged because things are not always right. And don't be the type of person that look at other people with a judgmental eye and say, well, boy, they ought to shape up, because chances are they could look back at us and say, there's probably some areas in your life that you could improve on. We all could, amen. And so we are thankful that either you were raised in a godly family and spared that, or God saved you and brought you out of that. When I think about where I could be today if I were still alive today and living the way I was going as a teenager, I would be utterly ashamed of my life and probably destitute. I'd probably be dead by now. And things of the world, I was headed in that direction. I knew it was wrong, and I didn't want to go that way, but I couldn't overcome it. And I tried to reform myself, but boy, when you're a self-reformer, that's an absolute defeatist attitude. You got to come to Jesus Christ. You got to have forgiveness of the Father, and then you have to have the wisdom and the power and the direction of God in your life. And when that came in my life, I was so thankful. You know, my wife, Connie, been gone now 6 years, a little over 6 years. But she was the best thing that ever happened in my life, because that was the unifying thing that brought me to Jesus Christ in a saved and know that I'm saved type way. And she was not always faithful as she should have been. She was never ungodly. She never did old worldly things like I did. But she just wasn't what God would want her to be until her first child came along, and that's her sitting there on the pillow, just come through surgery. And I'm glad to have her with me today. But that was the turning point in Connie's life that got her. She was saved as about 11 or 12 years old. But at that point is when she began turning her life around and said, I need to be back in church. And thank God for that. She got in church through that. I got my life in and come to a true saving knowledge of Christ that literally transformed my life overnight. And I've never regretted that. Now, as a Christian home, how do we protect our home? Most of us that have already gone through that and our children grown up probably wish we could go back and start over, but who would want to do that? We're already through that. We don't want to put ourselves through that misery again. But we look back and we see our shortcomings and our failures and so on. And that's why I was hoping the young couples would be in here, because I want to challenge them not to do what some of us did and the way that some of us did it, and to really be faithful to the Lord and to seek God's will. So let's look through this psalm. I think I've got some things that'll be very helpful for us. Number one is in verse 2. I'm going to start at verse 2, and then I'm going to come back and close with verse 1. But verse 2, it said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. So we're to act wisely and walk perfectly. Act wisely and walk perfectly. When we act wisely, that doesn't mean we're super smart and great. It just means be aware of what's going on in your home and in your life. When you're aware of what's going on, then you know what to fight against and how to protect it. When we walk with our head up in the air like this and we never see what's around us, that's when you step in the mud puddles and get your shoes dirty and your feet wet and things like that. Just be aware of what's going on and walk perfectly. That doesn't mean without sin. That means in a mature manner. And some of us, it took longer. Even though I got saved at 21 and my life totally changed, I was a very immature person probably through most of my adulthood up through middle adulthood. And the maturity that's come, it's great when you got it and you know you got it. I mean, I don't think I'm perfect by any means, but I think I'm more mature now than I was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. It's a growing process. And there's not a one of us in here that said, Lord, I've achieved. Paul said, not as though I've already obtained, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, if any man could have said, I made it, I'm here. But he always looked at himself and considered himself the chiefest of sinners. And he said, I press toward that mark. So a wise man, according to Proverbs 1, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And under that, I got two thoughts. Number one, listen more than you talk. Boy, that's hard for some of us, isn't it? Because I'm a talker. I like to talk. But when I'm around someone that's more of a talker than I am, drive me up a wall that, you know, just go on and on and on. But let's learn to listen. That's why we come to church and listen to preacher. I'm telling you the truth. Our preacher gives us messages that people outside, if they knew what we were getting, would literally kill for it almost. Because we have a pastor that when he preaches up here, he's not superficial. It's not a Friday night quickie to us. We know that his messages have been prepared and prayed over and thought about and studied on, so that when the thoughts come from this pulpit, we're getting something. So we need to listen more than we talk. And number two under that, listen to the right people. You see, we can give our ear over to our best friend or to someone like that that doesn't have our spiritual welfare as their foremost thought. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to pull one for another. And, you know, it's easy, and we've had some people over the last number of years that have pulled away from us. And it's easy to get a critical attitude towards them and say, well, they should have. Yeah, they should have. But they're still our brothers and sisters. And what happened, a lot of these people began to listen to somebody else that began to take them from their spiritual walk with the Lord and began to detour just a little bit. And you know what you do? You justify yourself. See, when you're walking here and you're only getting out here, you say, well, I'm not that far off. But you're walking at an angle. And before long, you're out here and you're saying, how in the world did I get out here when I started back here? Well, you probably listened to the wrong people and the wrong things. Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. We need to be teachable. And that goes from the newest member of our church right on up to our pastor. He goes to other places and hears sermons. Do you know what he's learning? I'm learning. I love to hear other preachers. I love to go to Bible conferences and things. There's some that I really like, and there's some that after I leave, I wonder, what did I get out of it? But I don't care, even if you have that attitude, to come home feeling like that. Generally, you get something. There's always a tidbit of something in there that you just say, Lord, I needed that. Well, hang your hat on that. Don't think about the negative things. Be positive. Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son heareth his father. Keep a good relationship. Now, most of us in here are grandpas and so on. And again, I was hoping the young couples here. But keep a good relationship. If you don't have a godly father, adopt one. Adopt one. Find that person that you can lock up with and look up to and walk with. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. I missed Proverbs 15:24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Look to heavenly things. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Almost everything else falls into place. And if it doesn't fall into place, so what? God knew about it yesterday. He knew about it 100 years from now. And if it's something that persists, he'll know about it 100 years forward from now. Don't fret over what you can't change. I've got enough that I worry about myself that I have control over to fret and worry about that. See that you walk, Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're watching on TV. Watch what you're reading. To be truthful with you, worldly stuff ought to have no place in our life. Now, I know people that like to read novels and things like that, and I'm not opposed to that, but boy, fill your mind with godly things. Find books that are edifying, that will build you up. Walk circumspectly. That means to be watchful on all sides. I got that out of Bible college. I've never forgotten it. Walk circumspectly. Means to have eyes in the back of your head. I mean, the Holy Spirit's there. Be sensitive to what's in front of you, what's behind you, what's beside you. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Always keep God in your thoughts. There ought not be a time or a place that we go that we cannot bow our head and have prayer. Amen? And not be, if we do, not secretly. So, well, I hope people don't see me. When I pray in a restaurant, I bow my head. I want people to see me. Now, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see me for the benefit of God. And you know what? When I am in a restaurant and I see a family come in and pray, usually if I do, before I leave, I go over and commend and say, boy, it's good to see a family pray and thank God for their meal. And I commend you for it. Amen? Okay, number two is verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. We need to look selectively and avoid detours. Guard your eyes and ears as to what you hear, where you're going, and so on. How do we do that? John chapter 19, verse 37. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Look on Jesus. And realize, as I've just said, we don't go anywhere with him. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you've been saved and the Holy Spirit of God comes into you, the Holy Spirit and Jesus go with you every place, every step, every up, every down, every thought of your heart is with God. And so look on him. And when you keep your eyes on the Lord and you're thinking about Jesus, it's hard to get mad and cuss and be angry at people and to do evil and wicked things. The devil will sure make it easy, but if you got the Lord between you and the devil, what a protection that is. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Don't get caught up in time, but in eternity. You know, remember when you were young? Oh, we school, get out. That's first day of school. Oh, it's getting closer, second day of school. You know, that's all you're thinking about, getting out of school and having freedom. And then as an adult, oh man, be so glad when Friday gets here. I'll tell you the truth, I can't wait for Sunday and Wednesday to come around. I sat at home on Wednesday afternoon. And at 2 o'clock, I began looking at my watch. And usually by 5 or 5:30, I'm heading over here to church. And when I'm over here by 5:30, quarter of 6, well, I stop at Subway. Got to do something to take up the time. But I enjoy getting to church early and coming in. First of all, I get my parking spot right there in front of that post. I about knocked that post down. I bumped into it a bunch of times. If you notice now when I back in, I've got about 8 feet between my bumper and that. I don't get close to it anymore. So front of my car is sticking out. That's why, because I've hit that thing back there. But I like getting here early. You know what? I even like seeing all you folks. Imagine that. This crowd can't wait to get here and shake hands and see you and fellowship. And that's why we have a whole group out here. And even after church. Now, I'm not an after church person. When we say amen, I like to get out and go home. But I do my fellowshipping and everything before. Some of you do it before and after. But a lot of people do it after. That's why 30 minutes after church, still got a group out here. We love each other. We're family. And it's like being at that family reunion once a year. Oh, I hate to leave, you know. And that's what we are. We are the family of God. So think about those eternal things. 2 Corinthians 10:17. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. We belong to God, and we are part of that family, and we're part of this ministry. You may not think you are, but if you're a member of this church, can the body get along without the hand and without the heart? Some of the things we could, if we lost an arm or so on. But what part of the body are you? Are you the finger out here that if it got cut off, nobody would miss you? I want to be more than just a finger. I want to be a heart. I want to be a liver. I want to be a gallbladder that Angela just had taken out. I want to be something serious in the church that when I'm gone, they say, oh, we miss Brother Joe. Now, I don't say that in an arrogant way, but I want to be part of this body and part of this church. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58, those are my life verse. Thanks to God giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do not flutter about and do not follow easiness. Now, I am a person, I kid, one of my favorite sayings, there's a place for everything and everything in its place. When the lady comes to clean my house, she doesn't have a whole lot of cleaning to do because I keep it straight. Connie taught me that. She smacked the daylights out of me if I didn't. But it became a habit in my life. And my closet, Angela and I were just talking about it. She and I come out of the same mold. When you look in my closet, I got pants, I got shirts, I got suits, and then I got summer shirts in another closet, and winter shirts, and I transfer them back and forth as that. But when I get out of my routine, I'm lost. I'm a mess. And so I like things easy. And I work towards easiness, but I don't let easiness control me. If there's something that's hard to do, I say, Lord, give me the strength and the ability and the determination to go on. Number three, choose a clean heart and good company. Verse 4 says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. A froward heart means this: perverse, not willing to comply, and ungovernable. You know what that is? Have you been out in the stores recently and see a little child out there? They're running helter-skelter, and mom said, don't do that, or I won't buy you any candy. And they run even harder and scream louder. That's what froward is. Unmanageable, ungovernable. And God wants us to be. Psalm 24:4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. Do not do anything you must hide or be ashamed of, but if we do, confess your sins and pray for cleansing. 1 John 5:9. A clean heart will attract good company. Amen. Number four, and I'm going to have to hurry along these. Cut off evil fellowship conversation. Verse 5 in Psalm 101. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not suffer or will not be allowed. Privately slandereth, gossip and busybody. Spend more time on the phone talking about other people and their matters than anything else. What a shame that is. Solution for that is, well, let me read another verse, verse 11:4-11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your own hands as we command you. It's hard enough to take care of myself, let alone anybody else. Amen? The solution, while you work and are busy, Psalm 71:24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. Psalm 72:12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. If you're on the phone talking to people about, oh man, God's good, God bless me, that's one thing. Psalm 105:2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 119:27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. 145:11, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. That's how unsaved people will come to the Lord. Number five, look and walk with right people to serve God. Verse 6 says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Find people who will help you to grow in the Lord. You know, the devil has us going downward, finding people that will take us down with them. You know, when somebody's going down, they don't want to go alone. Somebody drowning, they're grasping at everything they can get. Well, people that are going away from God don't want to go alone. Number one, they don't want to be alone. Number two, they want to feel justified because, well, if I'm doing it and so-and-so's doing it, we're on the same page. Well, you're on the same page, but you're on the wrong page. You're going in the wrong direction. Find someone that's going to elevate you and to move you up and to challenge you to greater heights. Psalm 1 is a perfect psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate. Think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and so on. So look and walk with right people. And look for people that will help you to grow. Number six, always be honest. Verse 7, back in Psalm 101. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You never have an excuse to lie. You say, but what about somebody ask me how they look in this dress? All baloney. Somebody's got to ask me how they look. They probably don't think they look right. Or they're proud and arrogant and want me to compliment them. So I ignore them. Either way. No, I don't. But you know what I'm saying. The liar looks for an excuse to lie. If somebody says you look nice in a dress when you look pitiful, I don't consider that a lie. That's courtesy. Now, somebody looks bad enough, you probably ought to warn them, go home and change it. But you know what lying is. Protecting ourselves, protecting our reputation, protecting against the wrong that we've done, or putting down somebody else. And sometimes we lie, what, by osmosis or whatever it is. So, did you know what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Well, no, and I probably don't need to know. Neither should you. A lot of what we repeat probably are lies. So be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And if you're doing things like that, all these little rinky-dink things don't have a lot to do with it. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Just be honest. Tell the truth. Make it a habit in your life. Number 7. Rise early and meet the Lord to have victory. I'm not going to say much about this because it's in my message this morning. But in verse 8, Psalm 101, I will early, and the key word is early, destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I will early, early. And I can't overemphasize this. Every great man of God that you read their biography generally rose up early to meet God and start their day. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't come back and take a nap. Dr. Ford Porter, that wrote God's Simple Plan of Salvation, I believe about 3 o'clock in the morning, his habit, about every morning, 3 o'clock, he'd crawl up into his somewhat of an attic place where he got alone with God and had Bible study and a time of prayer. And that's where he prayed that God would give him the ability to get something like the tract worldwide to start a Bible college. That's where I graduated from Bible college and things like that. But he come back down and went back to bed. And, of course, as a preacher, you can do that. And I understand you got to get up at 6 and go to a job or something. You got to use common sense. But before you go to the job, even if it's 5 minutes, get up and read a chapter and spend a minute in prayer with God and fortify yourself against all the wickedness you're going to come across. Number 8 is back up in verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Fill your heart with God's word, with God's love, with God's work. And I want to close with this. Serving God is more about attitude than ability. You know, we have people in our church that have great ability, and thank God they've dedicated it to serve God. But if the attitude's not right, you know, for instance, Brother Tom may be up here saying, look at me, leading the singing. Brother Joe can't do this. And he's right about that. But look at me. Ain't I somebody? That's not the right attitude. And usually if that's the attitude, somewhere along the line there's going to be a great fall come. Going to be a step in front of you. When you got that old nose up in the air, you're going to step right off that step, fall flat on your face. And the devil will have you right in his snare, right where he wants you. But with the right attitude, God will take our little bit of ability. What's the old saying? The greatest ability is availability. Putting yourself in a place where God can use you and make of you what He wants you to be. Not all of us are going to be preachers. Not all of us are going to be teachers or song leaders. But we can all be something in this church. Somewhere there's a place that I need to fit in. And whatever that thing is that God gives you to do, that's the greatest thing. That's what gives you motivation to get up on Sunday morning and say, man, I can't wait to get to church. Can't wait to come back Sunday night. Can't wait to get here on Wednesday night. So I hope this has been helpful to you. How to protect our homes. Number one, how to protect me. If I don't protect me, I can't protect anybody else. But if you still got a home and you got children in your home or you got children here that you're still an influence over their lives, how can I protect my home? How can I protect my children? How can I protect my testimony and everything like that? It's a job. It is a hard job. But it is well worth it. And one day, trumpet's going to sound, and the Lord's going to say, or the angel's going to call out, come up hither. And the Lord's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I made you ruler over a few things. I'll now make you ruler over many things. I don't know what that entails. I've heard preachers say that they wanted to come back and be the mayor of the city where they were preaching. Boy, I don't want to do that. I want something far better than that. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing me to have the opportunity to just preach your word and teach your word. And Lord, I know that I get 100% more out of what I do than what I bestow on anybody else, but I pray it'll be a blessing. And Lord, that maybe today we've helped somebody just elevate themselves a step or two in the right direction. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.